Wake up, everybody. Sunday morning, you get the blessing. Bob Belts, Bo Mitchell, and wonderful guest today. You're going to be blessed. How do you like that music?
How about a little Wilson Pickett there? I'll tell you what, in the middle.
Makes you think of Roy Wilson, Billy Stearns, Bobby Mastin, the TJ Boys. Was that popular in the 60s?
I'm not sure, but I remember Wilson Pickett, so anyway.
Wicked Wilson.
Yeah, Wicked Wilson Pickett. And okay, so it's not the midnight hour. It's 7 a.m. Sunday morning.
It's early.
It's great to be able to be together again, and we got an awesome guest right now today.
We do, and I want you to introduce him. But thank you, listeners, for tuning in today and for communicating with us through YouGetTheBlessing.com and letting us know you're tuned in. We're going to get back to Furnace Blessings, where we give furniture away to people in town pretty soon. So we'll let you know that in the weeks to come. But right now, Bob, go, buddy.
All right. So we always like to introduce you to people in the Denver community that we feel like are making a difference and having an impact and an influence on people's lives. And so today, this is really, really cool because, you know, I have the privilege of being the senior pastor at Highline Community Church. And I have one of the greatest guys that I get to partner with in ministry, who is both a worship leader and an awesome pastor and one of the smartest guys I know, one of the most fun, caring, loving. Can you believe all this stuff?
Unreal.
Biff Gore. And Biff, I wish people could see your face because I love your smile. And every time I look at you, it makes me feel good. So we're really glad that you can be with us today and be our guest on You Get the Blessing.
Welcome, Biff.
Thank you. I love being here, and I truly do feel blessed to be here.
You know what? I'm going to describe the way you look to me, because he and I were talking about this a few days ago. He's been accused of looking like Mr. T, and he's been accused of looking like Mike Tyson. So if Mike Tyson were in the studio right now, and I was asking him why he's not fighting anymore, kind of what would he say, Biff?
He would say, well, you know, it's not easy being heavyweight champion of the world, and you know, I love to live for the Lord today. That's what I like to do.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
It is pretty good. Now, you know what? Biff, he's a little bit twisted, too, because we did kind of this fun thing this year. Instead of doing a Halloween deal at the church, we did a Reformation night, which kind of sounds, it might sound boring, but it wasn't. It was really cool. And Biff we dressed Biff up as if he was Martin Luther. Of course, my son Baker made a great observation. He says, you're going to get people confused whether it's Martin Luther or Martin Luther King. But somewhere in the midst of the night, wearing this long Martin Luther robe, he went to the Mr. T Martin Luther look. And it was really something.
Mr. T shows up in the studio. Yeah. What would he say?
He said, I pity the fool who don't know Jesus.
So other than these imitations, you right. Two guys are telling me every Sunday morning, and Highline, lead worship, Biff, and preach. That's good.
That's right. We're a team, and our kind of the third part of the whole deal is Sandra, Sandra Scommel, and she tries to keep us all in line. But Biff is unbelievable. So anyway, Biff, we want to let you tell a little bit of your story because I think you got a fascinating story, and why don't you just tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up for you?
Okay. Well, I was born by a river in a little tent.
No, actually, how about we just use your regular voice?
Actually, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I was born in the late 60s, 1968 to be exact. And so I grew up in a very humid climate and stayed in Baltimore until I went off to college, University of Maryland, and then ran out of money. So I joined the Army because they were giving money away, and they said, you could pay for your school with this. So I lived in Germany for 4 years and served during the first Gulf War. And, you know, I've been a singer all my life. My mother was a classically trained pianist and vocalist, so she studied at Peabody in Baltimore and was just an incredible musician. She wanted me to become a musician, but I rejected. I wanted to play football and chase after the world. But the Lord got a hold of me. So,
Now, growing up, was kind of faith an important part of your family's life? Or kind of when did that become real to you? When did Christ really become? Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about the family growing up, but then, you know, when that happened for you.
Okay. Well, grew up in a, you know, traditional family, mother and father. My dad was a hardworking grocery man. My mother was a nurse. She actually tried her hand at classical music and traveling. And my father said, either you become a mother to these children or I'm going to have to find me another mother. So he basically laid down the law. So my mother gave up her career as a musician and came home and mothered us and actually went back to nursing school. So she worked nights and my father worked during the day. But grew up in the church. I remember telling my mother one time, you know, we used to go to church four nights a week.
Oh, my God.
And I said, Mama, we must be the most ungodly people. We must be the biggest sinners in the world. She said, why you say that? I said, because we're always in church. And my mother said, don't be blaspheming the name of the Lord. So I was in a very Pentecostal church, you know, fire, brimstone, people running up and down. And then something happened, and we switched over to a United Methodist church, and I could actually understand what the preacher was saying, and it was a great experience for me. Got involved in the youth ministry, and so faith is always, a walk with the Lord has always been important to me, but I didn't really come to know Christ until after I went in the military, and that's when Jesus became personal for me and not just my grandmother's Jesus or my mother's Jesus. I met Jesus for myself and was standing on that crossroad that we all have to come to and make a decision about who I was going to serve. Was I going to serve myself or was I going to serve Christ the Lord?
What was kind of the circumstances surrounding that when you came to that point? Was somebody talking with you about Christ, or was it more something that was just kind of going on internally?
Well, I had a really good job, and things weren't going well on my job, and I just wasn't satisfied. And I was off of active duty. I was still in reserves, and had a really, really good job. I was working in the healthcare field. I was I'm a PA by training, and my best friend, I called him up. We were stationed in Germany together, and I said, man, you got to come over. I'm not feeling well. And what we used to do is we'd cheer each other up. He'd come over, or I'd go see him, and we would sing songs to each other. And he started singing the old rugged cross, and I just broke down and cried like a baby. And you know, when you have real friends, you can do that with them. And he started singing a song to me, and I said, I know what is missing in my life. I went to church the next day. I hadn't gone to church. It probably had been a year before, you know, since I'd gone to church the last time. And I sat and I listened to the sermon, really intensely listened with my spiritual ears and not my physical ears. And the word of God just became so real to me. And I gave my life to Christ that day. And I haven't been the same since.
Now, you've got an awesome wife. And you have a tribe, man. I mean, you're coming up on putting a basketball team together. You got four and one in the boilers there. So anyway, yeah. How did you and Marilyn meet?
Well, long story short, I moved to Colorado in 1995, and I was living over near Heritage Christian Center, and I didn't know anyone. I was working for this biotech company. I was traveling 4 days a week, and I said, I'm just going to walk over to this church. So anyway, I walked over to the church and got quasi-involved, you know, just showing up on Sundays, met a couple of people. I met this guy who was going out on a date with a lady who was, he was a little bit older than me at the time. I was 26 going on 27 when I first moved here. And I said, man, you guys need a chaperone, you know, for some accountability. And he said, sure. So him and the lady, they went out. The three of us went out. And, you know, I was cracking jokes and making funny. And she said, I know some young ladies that would like you. So she introduced me to my wife, Marilyn. And, I mean, it was love at first sight. So long story short, that's how I met Marilyn. She actually worked with Marilyn's mother at DRDC, or at the women's prison out at out in North Denver. And, like I said, it was love at first sight. 5 months later, we were married, and I was happier than a one-eyed dog in a sausage factory.
In Maryland, by the way, her dad is kind of like a local fixture in the faith community. He was a pastor, is that right?
He still is. Pastor. He's pastoring at a church downtown that actually Bo's had a hand in, Open Door Fellowship, and with Andy Cannon and all those guys down there, and David Warren.
Cool. Hey, real quick, tell us your names, your four kids, ages, and
My oldest is Jasia. She is 10 years old. She turned 10 years old today. And then there's little Jasmine. We call her Jammy Juice. She is 7, will be 8 on the 16th of March. Then we have Joel, who's probably the most handsome little boy in the world. He's 5. And then we have Jewel, who is a jewel, the wildest jewel you'll ever want to meet. But she is sweet as a Georgia peach.
And you have number 5 coming when?
Number 5 is coming June 23rd. Oh. Yes. And its name will probably be Jubilee or Justice, depending on if it's a girl or a boy. So all J's.
Now, not Bob or Dudley?
No. Nope.
That's hey, well, you know, one of the fascinating things is you're a phenomenal musician. And particularly, not only you sing great, you play the guitar great, you really have a sense of worship. But it was neat when you told me the story about, you know, you really haven't been doing that long. How did you get into this deal?
Well, about 6 months ago, I just had a desire to learn how to play guitar.
Six?
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, okay, come on.
No, when I turned 30, when I was 29 and soon to turn 30, the Lord just put this impression on my heart to learn how to play guitar. And so I talked to my wife. I said, I talked to Marilyn. I said, I really want a guitar for my birthday. And she said, all right, let's go pick one. So we picked out a guitar. And I got a couple of music books and got really frustrated with those music books. But Andy Cannon came. I went to him and I said, man, I really want to learn how to play guitar. And he said, you should learn chords first. So he taught me the song that had 2 chords in it. And I practiced it over and over and over and over again. And I got good enough. And then I went back and I played it for him. He was like, wow, that's good. Here's another song. It has 3 chords in it. I did the same thing, went back to him. And he said, you know what? Get yourself a chord book. You're on your own. 6 months later, I was leading worship in the this newly formed evening service at Open Door. And that's how it all began for me.
That's the voice of Biff Gore. He's our guest today on You Get the Blessing. This is Bo, my partner Bob Belts. And we were just learning a little bit how you launched your music career, because you are a tremendous worship leader. And you and Bob together at Highline Community Church, and Sandra and Sue and
TK
and Julie. It's a great staff. So Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock, 10:45, if you're looking for a place to worship, jump in. And now let me put this into context for you, because you guys know I love to sing, and I can't carry a note in a bucket. So I'm going to sing, and then you're going to sing, because we're going to see how this comes across to the listeners. So I'm going to sing a line, and then you sing 2 lines of the same song. So I'll start with, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross,
the emblem of mercy and shame.
Darling, you send me.
Darling, you thrill me. Honest you do, honest you do, honest you do.
He's holding back, by the way.
I know. When he unleashes, it's a lot of fun.
I guess why I did that is it's odd. I was in charity work for a long time with Garth Brooks, the cowboy singer, and couple times we'd be in the car and singing old songs back and forth, and it's kind of like Biff, and when you have perfect pitch and quality, it made me want to never sing again. I just admire that gift God gave you. But I tell the Nuggets at chapel all the time before the games that there's a lot of big, tall, strong, gifted men sitting around watching them on TV because they didn't want to work and didn't want to give back to God a gift with what they did with the talent that God's given them. So I appreciate that God gave you that talent, but you've developed it and you are incredible. And what inspires you, or I heard the story there, but what inspires you every week to get up and do that? I know you're a businessman, you're a busy husband, a busy parent with four kids and one more coming, but you pour your heart into Highline in this partnership with Bob and that staff. And what's the inspiration there?
Well, really two things. One is I think that we have to walk in step with one another as Christians. And meeting you guys has been really a thrill for me. And for me...
That's what most people say, by the way.
Or one out of 50.
Yeah,
that's
well,
not
that's
bad.
Right.
I just want to be humbled at God's word, like he says in Isaiah chapter 66. You know, to this one I will look, the one who is humbled at my word. And I just really appreciate the fact that Bob has a heart for wanting to teach and preach. And when I think about this great opportunity that we have to lead people into the throne room of God, it really awes me. And when my time is done on this planet, I don't want to be known as a great musician or as a theologian. I just want to be known as someone who was passionate about God and passionate about winning souls for him. So that's my motivation.
You're doing it, friend.
You know, I since I watch you every week, I see something happen up front where there's almost a gear. You shift, it's like, and I think it's the Lord, but you know, you kind of shift gears and you can tell you are really in worship mode, and it's contagious. I mean, I think that's what's great about it, because people get drawn into that. But what happens when you, because I see it happen, I can visually almost see it happen to you.
I start I just start to sing, and I just feel like I can feel the presence of the Lord all around me, and I think about his glory and his majesty and how matchless he is, and then he just strengthens me to sing and belt it out. So
you do it every week, my friend. So if you were in my shoes, would you never sing again?
No, I would still sing.
Just what, keep it to the car and the shower?
No, you have a great voice.
Yeah, wrong again. Yeah. Bible breath.
And you know, you actually play piano really well, and guitar.
No, I don't, but thank you. I like the fact, too, that I think about my grandkids, and you guys probably don't know this part about my story, but I think about my grandkids and the work involved with learning any skill and practicing and getting prepared, and there's no conflict in my mind being the best at something and being prepared and being God's man or woman. I don't think he wants us to check our brains and our rear ends in at the front door. He wants that hard work. But I got so mad at my father in the eighth grade. He was coaching one of our summer baseball teams. And when that fall started, I said to my mother, you're married to a weirdo and he's your problem. And I pouted for 8 months. That's a long pout. And I would come home from football practice and go right in my room, do my homework. They'd serve me dinner at the door, and I'd sit in there and learn to play the guitar. Wow. And I'm glad my dad was tough, and I'm glad I quit pouting, because by the time he passed away in 87, we had very close friendship, constantly telling each other, I love you. But I appreciate that he pushed me and basically, in so many words, would say to me, okay, this is what a 200 hitter looks like. And this is what a 400 hitter looks like. You see the difference? And I'd be like, yes, sir. And I'm trying to get to this level. But do you think that's the right way to be a dad? And are you glad somebody pushed you to where even at a later age, you said, hey, Marilyn, I want to go get a guitar and learn to play the guitar. And now look what you're doing. Or do you think it's more of a thing where we should just say, hey, I am who I am and live with it, y'all?
No, I think you need to be cultivated like a pearl. Cultured like a pearl, not cultivated, but cultured. And I think you do need people pushing you. You need that pressure, positive pressure from both sides, you know. And the one thing that I know that I was lacking in my life 15 years ago was a Paul and a Timothy relationship, you know, where I could be a Timothy and have a Paul, and then I could look back and be a Paul to someone else. And I think you do need people pushing you, you know. I mean, we all look at sports heroes and things. Michael Jordan didn't become great because someone said, just go be who you are. No, someone said, you can't do this. And he found the pressure in himself to go out and be great. And for me, my parents were that way. My mother was classically trained, so she said, you will play an instrument. And I rebelled against it. And I have had to ask the Lord to forgive me for being rebellious toward my parents when I was a kid, because my mother wanted me to be excellent. And I chose to be a knucklehead at certain times in my life.
You know? Haven't we all?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to play football and not practice. And I faked playing clarinet for about 3 years. And
how do you do that?
Oh, man, I was real good at it. I could, you know, I could play minor scales and stuff, and I could act like I knew. And one day I had a teacher, we were getting ready for a jazz concert in seventh grade, and this teacher said, You play this solo piece. And I said, I can't. I don't even know how to read music. So, I took my read off. Oh, I was exposed. And it was that experience of being exposed for not giving enough and doing enough that really changed the course of my life. You know, I sat down with three of my friends and I said, what are we going to do with ourselves? You know, the expectation on us is, what are you going to do after high school? Are you going to go to college? Well, there wasn't an expectation. What kind of job are you going to have? I said, no, our expectation should be just like everyone else. What college are you going to go to? What are you going to be when you grow up? And then that has even changed, shifting. What am I leaving? What kind of legacy am I leaving for the Lord? How fervent am I? You know, because I want to see him. I want to be pure in heart. I want to see him. I want that reward.
Where you're going to, my friend, and you two guys are a dynamic team. And I say to you listeners, just be all you can be. Strive to continue to learn, read, study, try something different, and watch how the Lord will bless you and use you, just like he has in Biff Gore's life, our guest today. So in closing, I'm going to just encourage people to tap into what's going on at Highline Community Church. You guys are two of the members of a great team of folks, and it's exciting what's out there, isn't it, Bob?
You know, I was telling Biff the other day that I got a phone call. Someone had heard about Highline, and they said, well, what's the deal there, whatever? And I said, well, you know, we really focus on the Bible, for one thing. We're sort of a teaching, you know, focused church. But I said, the other thing is, I said, for a church our size, I think we have incredible music, and I think that the combination of really being led into the presence of the Lord in worship, and which again Biff just does a great job at, and kind of sets the stage and prepares your heart to listen to God, and then when you can share the word after somebody like Biff has sort of set the stage, it makes a huge difference. And so I do think good things are happening there. And again, my prayer is that God will bring the people to Highline he wants there and keep away the people he doesn't want there. It's a good place.
So I really don't care where you go. Just go somewhere, y'all. And when you get to Highline, it's just north of Arapahoe and University Boulevard, across the parking lot from the Goodson Rec Center. And ask for the Killer Bees, because we're standing around there, Bob, Bo, and Biff. And we are the biggest, bewildered, bad boys you've ever met, because we are just putzing along like everybody else, trying to serve God and have a little fun along the way. And Biff, you're a great testament to this. Your life is a great testament to our listeners that maybe feel they're short of what they should be, because you get after it, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and you know, again, Highline might not be the place for you. I think that's real important for people to find a place where they fit. But the key is to get out and, you know, check it out. Find somewhere, because, you're missing community, missing people to care for you, missing an opportunity to get connected to God in a way that is transformational, changes your life, changes your family, and changes your community, and ultimately changes the world.
I forgot about Baggerly, another one of the Killer Bees. I'm sure we've got plenty. So, what are you excited about, Biff, in closing? What's coming up besides your new baby?
A new opportunity every week to worship God and to draw people into his presence, so that they, if they haven't met him or if they haven't been there in a long time, to just see the excitement and the wonder that's on their face when they get to hear dynamic preaching and excellent singing.
Bob, any parting shots?
Nope. Just want to thank Biff for being with us. I wish we could have just had him sing for, like, you know, half an hour, because people would have loved that.
I'm not sure how he came across, but I'm quite sure this is my last public singing performance. Hey, thank you all for letting us know you tune into our program every Sunday morning. We're going to keep doing this because there's plenty of great folks for you to meet and be blessed by, just like Biff Gore here today. So, Biff, bless you and your family. Thanks for being our guest. And we'll see you all again here next Sunday morning, 7 o'clock KOA.